Today's episode of About Them Cowboys is brought to you by Robinhood. With Robinhood, you can invest in stocks, options, and ETFs right from your phone. You can even spend and earn interest on uninvested cash. And with fractional shares, you can buy stocks at any amount, including companies like Apple, Amazon, and Tesla for as little as $1. And that's with no commission fees or account minimums. So whether you're new to investing and ready to learn, or just looking for a better experience, stop waiting and join the 10 million Robinhood users. Listeners can get started with a free stock by going to Robinhood.com. All investments involve risk. This is not an investment advice, a recommendation, or solicitation of any security. Other fees may apply. Visit rbnhd.co/fees. Free stock program is subject to certain limitations. Annual percentage yield on uninvested cash is paid by program banks and is variable. Robinhood Financial is not a bank.
How we doing, guys?
How we doing, guys?
How we doing, guys?
How we doing, guys? How we doing, guys?
Lias Campbell has blocked 3 field goals this year.
And the kick will not count.
Team timeout. Dallas.
It's Dallas calling the timeout. No good. So Bailey, who kicked a successful 49-yarder, only to have the timeout by Jason Garrett, force him to do it again, misses.
Hey guys, Jay Glazer here at the NFL on Fox. A little breaking news here. Dallas Cowboys have informed Jason Garrett he is out as head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It's official now. Dallas Cowboys have moved on from Jason Garrett as their head coach.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
Oh, he's done. Ooh. Finally, Jason Garrett is done. Look, he's had 9 lives. He ain't getting 10. Well, they got 2 playoff wins in 10 years. And we talk about it every single year about how, you know, hey, he's on the hot seat. Well, this thing right now, dude, he ought to be getting boxes to his house. Because this one, I've never heard an owner in all my years talk about his coach like this.
Here's the dirty little secret. Jason Garrett's not a very good head coach. I mean, what's the best thing you can say about Jason Garrett? He loves to clap. I mean, he loves to clap. He'll clap for everything all the time. Missed field goal, clap. Pick 6, clap. Missed extra point, clap. The guy is a clapper.
Winners win, losers try to avoid losing. This is what the Cowboys have running it right now. Losers. They have gone for it on 4th-and-1 19 times. They made it 18 times. What in God's good name terrified you at the opponent's 42? What are you doing punting at the opponent's 42 in overtime with a chance to win the game?
I think the negativity, you know, in Dallas and around the Cowboys right now, it would be miserable if he continued to be the head coach. Yeah, I think nobody would be happy.
Good to see you guys.
All right, guys.
Good to see you.
All right.
Good to see you guys. Good to see you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Right. Good to see you guys. Thank you.
The only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Well, this is the end, officially, of the Jason Garrett era in Dallas. After making the playoffs 3 times in 9 seasons, Jerry finally makes the decision to not bring back Jason Garrett as head coach. And we are here to react to it all on The Athletic. So, welcome back in to About Them Cowboys. Kent Garrison here, producing my way through this episode with 3 of the best of the best when it comes to covering all things Dallas Cowboys. And they're going to bring you all the reactions and rants you could possibly want following this news. So, first we're welcoming back to the show. He's finishing up his 10,000-word Jason Garrett eulogy as we speak. It's Father John Mishota. Hey, John.
What up, guys? I just don't really understand how anybody can have a life and cover this team. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, you know from experience, right, John? Man, excited to welcome in this guest. Him and I worked together for 7 years at DallasCowboys.com, had some great times covering this team together, and I'm excited to hear what he has to say from behind the scenes and what has been happening at the Star this past week. He is the Cowboys' longtime beat writer for DallasCowboys.com. It's the one and only David Tiny Jim Hellman. Hey, TJ.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, well, well said, John. Sunday evening, of course, is the time where they finally pull this trigger.
Hey, I'm glad they did it before the show, you know?
So yeah, we can... No, that's a great point. At least now we've got some shelf life, right?
Right, exactly. And I'm welcoming back to the hosting chair, Kevin KT Turner. Kevin, it's a pretty self-explanatory what this episode is going to focus on, so let's get this thing popping.
All right, well, let's start with John. And when did you hear about this? What did you hear? Are you surprised? Why did this take so long? Just take it away, John, because I know both you and Dave are all over this, so just kind of start with you and your thoughts.
Well, I didn't find out about that it was official. I mean, I had heard that it sounded like Jason Garrett was saying his goodbyes to people at the Star, but he was still going to the Star. So you're kind of sitting there like, okay, well, this is eventually going to come to an end. And you're just hoping that it's not going to drag out until January 14th, where his contract runs out. You're just like, well, let's make a move here. And then you hear that they're bringing in other candidates to interview. So you're like, well, why would he still be there? And then today, you know, you're watching the Eagles Seahawks game, and you know, all of a sudden these reports start coming out. And so you start checking with sources to try and get things confirmed. And before you know it, you got Jerry Jones putting out a statement. And I was a little surprised that it happened on a Sunday night. I thought maybe it would be tomorrow morning, or I thought it would be last week, Thursday morning or Friday morning. But to happen in the, you know, during the second half of the Eagles loss, I guess maybe that's kind of fitting or whatnot. But yeah, no, it's not a surprise. The surprise would be as if he came back, as if they said, you know, we interviewed a bunch of people and we decided Jason's still the best man for the job. Now, that would be surprising. I don't know. What's your thoughts on it, Dave?
Man, it's the most 2020 thing ever. Like, I'll remember this for the rest of my life. Is obviously we've heard this coming down the pipe. We've all expected it for a while at this point. But the way that I found out that it was going down was a freaking selfie FaceTime from Jay Glazer. Like, I'm scrolling through my Twitter, just sort of, you know, entertaining myself during a commercial break during a playoff game. And I see Jay Glazer's face telling me that it's going down for real this time, which is hardly surprising. Jay's really tied in with the Jones family. He comes to training camp every year. And if you follow that type of stuff or you're in the industry, you know, those big national reporters get an inside track on a lot of these types of stories. And sure enough, he was right. But I couldn't believe that of all the ways, it's a selfie video from Jay Glazer during, and not just any playoff game, but the Eagles playoff game. Like, I have a hard time believing that was a coincidence. So just a bizarre way for it to finally come to an end.
You know, it's very interesting. Well, all of it's very interesting. I was very interested in the idea that they had guys already coming in the building while Jason was still, you know, locked in as head coach. And you know, I'm sure Jason wasn't at work today on a weekend or whatever, but maybe he would have been. I don't really know what his hours have been like. But the whole McCarthy rumors and then the Marvin Lewis stuff that we were starting to see over the weekend, to me, that was very fascinating to me. And then you start to throw in the idea that a lot of these coaches have agents and things like that. It opens up this whole world of things that we really don't deal with very much because, quite frankly, we haven't hired a new coach here in 10 years. So, like, it's kind of relatively fresh and new. What did you guys think about the idea that McCarthy came in, probably got put up in the Omni Frisco for a night, you know, had like a 2-day interview with the team while Jason Garrett was really still on the night's watch?
It's so weird, man. Like, and it just seems like the Cowboys find new ways to do things on their own terms. And like, it's almost like they just wanted to prove a point that they could look for a new coach without making a decision on Jason Garrett, because so many people were waiting for it and so many people were expecting it. And, you know, you had a couple premature reports during the week. Like, it almost felt like they wanted to prove a point that they could do it anyway. But like, how does that look? Like, was Jason Garrett's office emptied out? Like, did they take Mike McCarthy through the facility? Like, oh yeah, well, all of this stuff is still here from the last regime, but let's take you around. Like, it's just, it's a weird thought. And Marvin Lewis was there too. It doesn't make a ton of sense to me, but like I said, like, the Cowboys are just always going to find new ways to do things on their own terms.
Yeah. When I heard that, the Mike McCarthy one intrigued me because of the fact that obviously he's won a Super Bowl and you've heard his name mentioned with some of these other jobs. Now the Marvin Lewis, I don't, that one kind of surprised
that
me.
That seemed like a troll. That seemed it seemed like they're like, I was just waiting for a Jeff Fisher announcement to come out so they could like check all the boxes of least desirable people that we could possibly hire as head coach. Just get those out of the way. That's what it felt like. And then like Marvin Lewis saying Hugh Jackson had to be his offensive coordinator. Like, this has to be a joke. I don't know, man. It's dumbfounding to me, honestly.
Well, and then the other thing about Marvin Lewis is it just like, I'm sitting there like, oh, they could bring him in there and say that he's a finalist. And fans would be like, all right, fine, let's just stick with Jason Garrett.
Exactly.
He's won a playoff game. Marvin Lewis, if you guys don't know, is 0-7 in the postseason. That doesn't make sense. Like, I think that the key thing here for me is this next head coach isn't going to be somebody to, you know, hey, just try and get this team the way you like it and let's hope to get in the playoffs. Like, this next head coach has to pick up where Jason Garrett left off. And I don't see why the expectations are going to be any different from the fans or from the Joneses. You're going to have to win in the postseason, or it doesn't make sense to hire you with the current team that they have right now, the current nucleus that they will continue to have going into 2020. So because of that, Marvin Lewis doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Mike McCarthy does. I know KT, you've seen him a lot in Green Bay, and you're not a super big fan of that idea. And I'll let you go on this, but I just want to say that I think when all the cards are played and they've interviewed everybody that they're going to interview and it comes down to it, I don't know that they're going to end up with anybody that's better than Mike McCarthy. I think it'll be somebody that's on that same level, maybe a little bit better, but I don't think it's going to be significantly better than Mike McCarthy. So I'm interested to see where this goes, who else they interview. But I don't think they're getting Bill Belichick. I don't think they're getting Nick Saban. And Urban Meyer hasn't coached in the pros, so I can't say that that's a significantly better than a guy that's actually won a Super Bowl. So I'm interested to get your take on it, because I think it might be as good as they can do.
Yeah, let's start with McCarthy. I do want to go back to Marvin Lewis here in a second, too, because I do think there are a couple things that do make Marvin Lewis, where he would make sense, just not as a head coach. When we go to McCarthy, I have been critical of Mike McCarthy over the years, my entire family's Packers fan. So it's kind of fun to be a Packer fan and study the Cowboys and cover the Cowboys. Well, I don't think McCarthy's a bad coach. To me, I'm very skeptical of the guy who has a PR puff piece saying, hey guys, I am now an analytical guy, because I hang out with Jim Haslett. He flies to my house once every 2 weeks. I make him fly to my house, and we go out there to this treehouse, and we watch tape together. So I'm an analytics guy.
You've never seen a coach do that before?
No, I actually haven't. But someone on Twitter gave it to me pretty good from many angles, as Twitter's prone to do. One of those was, hey, can a guy evolve? Yes, he absolutely can. John Harbaugh wasn't the face of analytics back in 2016, but he is now. Guys can change. They absolutely can. I guess what I would say is, if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, I'll let Mike McCarthy go try that stuff in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield before I just hire him and give him the job. I mean, I really want to turn over every stone here. I want to go see if Lincoln Riley will quit his job. And that's where Marvin Lewis comes into play. Man, if you could get Lincoln Riley in as your play caller, head coach and play caller in your offensive system, and then Marvin Lewis is your defensive coordinator, you've kind of got this. And look, they only went to one Super Bowl. I'm not touting them as the, best duo ever. But you kind of have that kind of Sean McVay, Wade Phillips dynamic working for you. And I'm excited about the Lincoln Riley offense. He made Jalen Hurts kind of functional this year until you saw it in crunch time and go, I'm probably not going to be able to do that in the NFL. But I think that's kind of what they need. And they would still have a running attack in that offense too that they would value highly. So that's kind of like what I want. And that's where Marvin Lewis makes sense as a DC. We go to McCarthy. Here's some things that stand out to me. He is just as stubborn and arrogant and as poor of a game manager as Jason was on the field. I'm not talking about anything personally here. Mike McCarthy is a very much we do what we do type of guy. He's very stubborn. The thing that I would say that he does hold over Jason, he is a little more aggressive than Jason. Not that aggressive is always a great thing, Doug Peterson. It's not always a great thing. Sometimes it can be a bad thing. But he is a little more aggressive than Jason Garrett. But he's a very much we do what we do guy. And his offensive system, they just failed to change things. And they relied on Aaron Rodgers to get them out of binds until they couldn't do that anymore. And also what you saw under Mike McCarthy, if you look at any Green Bay close loss in those playoffs for really, large portion of the decade, they were giving up a lot of points on defense. And you know, whatever you want to say. I don't know who is, you know, it was Dom Capers as his defensive coordinator. Maybe it's all on him. I don't know how much sway Mike McCarthy will want to have with personnel. He didn't have a ton of say in the draft room in Green Bay. He had a little bit, but he didn't have a ton of say. But I just think there's so many things where you have Mike McCarthy that leave you wanting more. And there's a reason things didn't pan out well in Green Bay. Man, the story of him getting massages during team meetings.
Yeah, from last year.
Is legit. He denied it. That is true. I promise you that is true. I promise you. I know people in that organization. I promise you that is true. Like, it's like it's when it came out in that story, I was like, oh, yeah, I heard about this. Like, it is very, very interesting to me.
I'm with you more or less, KT, and like you're right. Maybe a guy can evolve. Maybe they can change. But like my impression of McCarthy's approach to this hiring season is it just seems like he sat down and was like, all right, the buzzwords analytics, like, all right, let's drum up this analytics stuff and see if I, you know, sure, talk about math and analytics and probability, and maybe all these dumb kids will listen to me and I can get another job. Like, I don't necessarily think I buy it. I, of course, could be wrong, but Mike McCarthy just strikes me as a different take on Jason Garrett. And it's probably not fair, but man, it's hard to ignore what a ridiculous level Aaron Rodgers was playing at for most of his tenure in Green Bay. I mean, a guy that arguably could have won MVP in like any of five or six different seasons. And I know, you know, you just said your whole family's Packers fans. Like, there's plenty of Packers fans who think it's a crime that Rodgers to this point in his career has only been to one Super Bowl. So it's a high standard to hold a guy to. And you could argue, you know, Cowboys fans would kill for that level of success for this franchise, even if it is disappointing. But it just doesn't feel like a drastic enough departure from what we've already seen over the last 10 years, in my opinion.
I don't feel like we're going to get a drastic departure with this current, the way things are. I think that's why you interview Mike McCarthy and Marvin Lewis to start out. Like, I agree with you, KT. I do like that idea of Lincoln Riley with somebody like Marvin Lewis, if that's the DC. Like, I totally, but when they said, when I saw that report about the Hugh Jackson has to be part of it, that's when I was kind of like, ooh, what about that? Yeah. The one thing I will say, though, about the Mike McCarthy thing and wanting more, the thing that gets me about that is just how much I know, just from being on Twitter all the time, and I know you guys see this too, just how much Cowboys fans love the idea of Sean Payton. Sure. And to me, I just look at that and I'm like, everything you say about what Rodgers hasn't, you know, only one.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair.
I look at that team today and I'm like, oh, losing at home to the Vikings? Really? Drew? Never, you only won Super Bowl for Drew Brees, and then you put their records together and you're just like, all I'm saying is, like, I don't understand why the one guy over here is like the absolute gold standard and like, oh God, I'd give up draft picks for this guy. And then the other guy is like,
no, that's a really fair point. And maybe honestly, Bill Belichick has ruined this for everybody else, because if you don't have this one franchise making what, 9 Super Bowls in the last 20 years, then maybe people would view those resumes a lot more favorably. Because I mean, if anything, it's so, like, it is hard to make it to a Super Bowl, but the Patriots just make it look so easy that some of these guys get held to a pretty absurd standard sometimes.
And it's just these past few years, I overrate the Saints, but it's not like I thought it was a disappointment that the Saints were even playing today. Like, I thought the Saints should be at home field. They were somebody who I thought should have been playing in the Super Bowl. I felt the same way last year. And so I understand these games are coming down to the end and whatnot. I'm just saying I find this interesting, though, that anybody that would really want Sean Payton would be against the Mike McCarthy idea, because I don't think that they're really that far apart. And if we're really getting wild, and I know that they won today, but I throw Mike Zimmer in there, too. I don't know where any of those guys are really like, no, this guy's way better than this guy. Like, so that's only, these seem like the type of guys that are kind of in the ballpark of who they can get if they go the pro route. And all those three guys that I just named, I still like them more than I like the idea of Josh McDaniels or Greg Roman or any of the coordinator route. So I like those head coaches. And then, unless, you know, like I said, you can get a Lincoln Riley and pair him with a seasoned veteran defensive coordinator, or obviously the Urban Meyer thing, where I'm going to write about him later on this week. It certainly seems like if he was to take a job like this, he'd be more of a CEO coach, where he'd be hiring a, you know, probably a young offensive coordinator, you know, probably a proven defensive coordinator. So, I mean, those are other things. I'm just saying, like, when I look at it, it just is kind of entertaining to me that that anybody could really absolutely hate on the Mike McCarthy idea if you just compare him to what is potentially out there if you don't think you're getting Bill Belichick.
And I guess what I would say is, and Dave, I want to run a question by you here in a second, but I want to throw this out there. So sometimes, like, when you're watching a football game, let's say we have the ball and it's 4th and 1. It's a questionable, should we go for it? Should we kick the field goal type thing? One exercise I like to do is think, what does the defense want us to do? If we go and settle for a field goal here, is the defense going, whew, man, thank God. Well, for these coaches, think about what their fan bases would say. Okay, would Saints fans be angry that if we got Sean Payton? I think they would. I think Saints fans would want to keep Sean Payton. You go ask Packers fans or Vikings fans how they feel about Zimmer or Mike McCarthy, and you will get a majority of those people telling you, oh, no, you don't want that. You'll get Ohio State people going, oh, God, you got Urban. Great, man. You guys are going to have a blast. You're going to get Oklahoma people going, oh, you got Lincoln Riley? Holy cow. Man, it sucks you took him from us. You guys are going to love him. You go ask Packers and Vikings fans how they feel about Zimmer and McCarthy. They're going to go, God, you don't want that.
Hold on. I got to jump in on that one real quick.
I know I'm being broad, but.
No. And that's fair because I've thought about that. I don't know that Mike McCarthy couldn't have won one Super Bowl with the Saints. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because it's different expectations. Sean Payton, they're not saying that in New Orleans because before he came there, they were wearing bags on their head. Before Mike McCarthy took over, they had already won a Super Bowl. They already had Holmgren there. They already won one with Brett Favre. Expectations were way different.
If Mike McCarthy would have
took over with Drew Brees, who I feel very, very confident he still would have won at least one Super Bowl with Drew Brees, then I don't think that there's a big difference there. And then the other thing is like a lot of people like, oh, you know, it didn't work out with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. Do you think it would work out for a long period of time with with Sean Payton and Aaron Rodgers, those two personalities? I don't think Sean Payton's still coaching that team either. So that's the only reason why I think every fan base, you have to look at it differently.
Yeah, that's – and, I mean, you know, KT was talking about his family being Packers fan. I'm from New Orleans, and I think that's a really interesting point that, I mean, the Saints had nothing else before Payton. And I think Saints fans would be upset if Sean Payton left, but, you know, to go back to John's point, 2017, 2018, 2019, that's three loaded teams. And, you know, they all came so close to winning their last playoff game. But for those three teams, for not one of them to even make the Super Bowl, I think there's plenty of Saints fans that are pretty frustrated that, you know, maybe Drew Brees comes back and makes one more go of it. But like, it definitely looks right now like, you know, they're going to get through the twilight of his career without making it back to a Super Bowl. I think there's a lot of Saints fans that are upset about that. So expectation is a big part of it. But if you fail to get over the hump enough times, anybody's going to be ready to see you go, I think.
Dave, who is your dream scenario here for head coach? If you want to talk coordinators too, you can.
Dreams. I mean, realistic dream. Cause yeah, like Bill Belichick's not coming. They're not trading for Sean Payton, blah, blah, blah. Honestly, that really perked up my ears is the idea of Lincoln Riley coming in and then, yeah, kind of like Sean McVay, you know, hopefully he would have some input. You don't want to appoint these guys, but giving him a veteran DC like a Marvin Lewis or, you know, I could think of a handful of other veteran names, guys who have been through the NFL. I think that would be fantastic because like the thing I keep saying is I just want a guy who can maximize my quarterback's talent. Like, you know, again, we're talking about Mike McCarthy and Sean Payton. Why? It's because they developed these great relationships with these good quarterbacks and have been the faces of their franchise. I mean, Sean Payton and Drew Brees go together. They always have. McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers did for a decade before their relationship soured. That's what I think the Cowboys need. I don't think Jason Garrett had that with Tony Romo for a little while. He was more of a CEO head coach by the time Dak Prescott came along. But Dak Prescott like needs an offensive play caller slash a guy who can game plan for him, who like knows him better than he knows himself, the way that Peyton does with a Breeze. That's what makes Lincoln Riley so intriguing to me is, you know, if you go watch the tape of his Oklahoma offenses, he's done that across the last 4 years. He's also done it for three different quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, and Baker Mayfield. None of them play the same, and they also are not traditional quarterbacks. And that sounds like Dak Prescott to me. I mean, he's a good quarterback, but he doesn't have a traditional, you know, Peyton Manning-esque skill set. So the thought that Lincoln Riley could scheme stuff up for him is really intriguing to me, especially if you pair him, you know, with an experienced defensive coordinator who can put together a top flight defense for him.
And I realize it's different not being in the NFL, but I think people will hear Lincoln Riley and they go, well, he's just a baby. Let's be legitimate here. He's been a coach in some regard, like an actual coach, not an assistant like a SA or a GA, since 2007. He's got over a decade of coaching experience. It's not like he's just some guy who's like thrown out there. Now, we know 3 years at Oklahoma. I just got this on Oddshark. Now, Oddshark, whether you want to buy into them or not, that's on you. But Vegas generally is right about stuff a lot. 12 names. Do you guys want me to list you guys the 12 names, or we'll just go one at a time and you guys can comment on them if you want to, from most likely to least likely? We'll start with least likely, right? Two guys coming in at with some, you know, very low odds to be the Cowboys head coach. Gary Kubiak and Dan Mullen, the head coach at Florida, former head coach at Mississippi State. He's the guy when we did our podcast live at Dot's Hop House last week with Broadison with us, that when we went home that night, I went, there's a name I forgot to mention during the podcast. And I was kind of kicking myself. Dan Mullen at Florida. Any?
Dave would like that one. Dave's pretty tight with Dan Mullen.
Yeah, we got to know him when we shot that documentary. I mean, it's intriguing in a similar sense. We know that Dan Mullen knows how to maximize Dak's ability. Obviously, he's never coached on a pro level. He's a lot more established in his ways. He's a much more experienced coach than Lincoln Riley, which you could view that as a positive or a negative. I'm intrigued by it, I guess, but I have a hard time seeing that be the choice.
Yeah, I like both guys. I have respect for them, but I think the Cowboys can do better than that.
The next four, John, we'll start with you here. I'll let you weigh in on any of these. Eric Bieniemy, the OC at Kansas City, I would say out. Greg Roman, OC at Baltimore. Jim Harbaugh or Marvin Lewis?
Okay, I like Jim Harbaugh the most out of all of those, and I do believe Jim Harbaugh is a better NFL head coach than a college coach, and I do think that he will eventually come back to the NFL and he'll be better in the NFL. I don't see any way how Jim Harbaugh fits with Jerry Jones. I mean, you want to talk about two polar opposites. I just don't think it would work, but I do think Jim Harbaugh, you know, people obviously rag on him for not being able to beat Ohio State. I do think that he could still have success in the NFL, but I just not with Jerry. It just doesn't seem like that's a fit.
See, I think he could. It wouldn't last very long. Like it reminds me a lot of Bill Parcells. Is like, you know, the ego and the attitude and all of that stuff that goes into it. Like, I think they could coexist for a time as long as things were going well. But like, if you're making that hire, I think you're banking on, you know, winning a Super Bowl in 2 to 4 years and then just calling it a day. Like, I can't imagine that being like this long lasting relationship that's going to, you know, certainly not last for a decade like Jason Garrett did, which, so it could be amazing or it could be a total disaster. I don't think it would be, it would be one of those. It wouldn't be in between, I don't think.
That's what it took to take them over the top, a short-term type thing, no matter how
sure.
messy the
a
breakup
lot of people
was.
Would sign up for that if you could guarantee that it would work, but you can't, you know?
The next two, in terms of odds right here, Robert Saleh, that's the DC at San Francisco, feels like something the Cowboys wouldn't do, and then Matt Rhule still on the list.
Yeah, again, I'm not a huge fan on either. I would go with Matt Rhule over the two of them. And when I say not a fan of, like, I both think that they deserve to be NFL head coaches and even maybe Cowboys head coaches at a certain time. But I just feel like the Cowboys need to get somebody that can come in there and win right now, that is established. And Matt Rhule has done a great job turning around programs and that. And he's going to probably get an NFL job real soon. And maybe one day is the coach of the Cowboys. But right now, I still think there's just a couple better candidates than him. But I like him the most out of those two.
Hot coordinator hires always scare me because, like, in August, like, nobody knew who Robert Saleh was. And some people, you know, if you follow the NFL, you've heard of Greg Roman. You know he's had success in a couple spots, but still, like, nobody, they weren't on anybody's radar. And then by October, everybody in the league is on this hive mind of like, well, of course these guys are going to be amazing head coaches. Like, you know, I mean, it was Chris Richard last year, and now I don't think there's a ton of people like getting in line that want to hire Chris Richard just a year later, which just goes to show you, like, it's all about how your unit is performing in the moment. If I was going to hire one of those guys, I mean, Roman intrigues me because of what he's done with Lamar Jackson. Again, having success with a non-traditional quarterback, but Lamar Jackson is on another level just in terms of raw talent than Dak is. So, like I said, I'd be intrigued by it, but I'm not just like chomping at the bit to get him in here. But if I was going to pick one of those three, I guess I'd lean toward Roman.
So those were eight names that I threw at you. Here are the four most likely, okay? And I'll put it this way. They have three with the same odds and then one clear favorite. The three with the same odds, the second to best odds to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys on Odd Shark are the three M's: Josh McDaniels, Mike McCarthy, Urban Meyer. Have we forgot about Josh McDaniels? Is he a guy we should think about here?
I'm trying to forget about Josh McDaniels. Like, I'm willing people to forget about him because I don't get it at all.
I just don't understand the fascination with all these former Patriots coaches. I understand Vrabel just beat them, and that's great. That's great. And I understand that they kept throwing up that stat yesterday about these former coaches and what they do against them. Like, and they're mentioning Matt Patricia. Like, that's a good move. I mean, I don't know. Like, obviously, I've talked in here many times about how I follow the Lions the second most closely behind the Cowboys. And they've completely tried to buy into that Patriot way by getting Bob Quinn to run things behind the scenes, get Matt Patricia. They're bringing in, overpaying Trey Flowers. They're trying to go all the Patriot way. No, the Patriot way is because of Bill Belichick. And if you're not going to get Bill Belichick, then the rest of these guys don't work. It actually makes me want to look down. I'm looking forward to how many years are we away from where his son, Steve Belichick, is now getting offered.
No, seriously,
jobs.
Yeah. I mean Vrabel looks like he might have been a pretty damn good hire. I mean, he coached a great game on Saturday night, but like the list of Patriots assistants who have not panned out is so much longer and has like spanned into like a decade. Like, we're talking about like more than a decade of Patriots assistants leaving and failing. And Josh McDaniels already did it, by the way. Like, his tenure in Denver wasn't good. He bailed on a vacancy with the Colts last year. Like, I've never met the man, but his makeup doesn't sound inspiring to that of being the head coach of the most visible franchise in the world. Like, there's just nothing about that. And for that matter, the Patriots offense wasn't good this year. I mean, I know that they're lacking in skill talent outside of their running backs, but like, they weren't lighting the world on fire. And so I just do not see why anybody would be super intrigued by that, other than the fact that he's been coaching for the best team in football for the last however many years.
And that whole movie pulled on the Colts is bizarre to me too.
No, seriously. Yeah, exactly.
So interested after that.
I don't know why anybody would want to give him a chance, which, having said something like that, probably just confirms that the Cowboys are going to be super interested, if I had to guess.
And lastly, the clear favorite on there by quite a bit on this list of Odd Shark is Lincoln Riley. So if you guys were saying today, as we record this, it's January 5th, Sunday, January 5th. A, when do you think the Cowboys make an official hire? B, if you just had to guess right now, gun to your head, who do you think it is? No, it's tough.
See, that's I've said Lincoln Riley a dozen times, but a part of me wonders though, like, how much of that is just because it's convenient? Like, he's clearly he's the hotshot name in college coaching. He's nearby, you know, Norman, Oklahoma is like 3.5 hours away. He's familiar with the area. He's familiar to Cowboy fans because he's in the area. But like, do we know that he actually wants to go pro? Like, I haven't gotten any indication. I've read plenty of reports that suggest he's very happy where he is. And there's definitely value in just sitting put and cranking out 10 to 12 win teams at OU every year. So I can't just bank on his interest. So if I had a gun to my head, I'd probably say him, but I don't feel confident about that at all.
If I had a gun to my head and I had to pick, I'd probably go with McCarthy. As just because that seems like what the Joneses are looking for right now in terms of like a win now experienced coach that has won a Super Bowl. But yeah, for me personally, I agree with Dave. If not only the Lincoln Riley thing, but if you can put together that staff, as you mentioned earlier, where it's veteran guys that have been around and it just, you know, he's the young head coach who's kind of learning on the job, but he's also obviously implementing his offense and the success. Basically hoping that you're going to get Oklahoma, but with the defense. Yeah, that seems like a dream scenario. That seems like it'd be great. And then the other thing that I add in there is it's just the opposite to me of what I said earlier about Jim Harbaugh. Like, I don't, just judging by the way Lincoln Riley is, he doesn't seem like he would have a problem with Jerry saying, I want to talk to the team right now, or Jerry talking twice a week on the radio or talking after games. Like, this doesn't seem like that would bother him at all. And then out of all the guys, like Dave said, I just think he's the best fit for Dak. If you're looking for who's going to probably help Dak the most in terms of the direction of where this game is going, he seems like the right fit. But that's a great point you bring up, KT, is, you know, no one really knows for sure if he, or maybe it was you, Dave, sorry, that no one really does know if he is super interested in doing it. I mean, coaching Oklahoma seems like a pretty great gig. And
I mean, you're gonna win 9 games at least, like, for the rest of your career, unless something terrible happens. So
the other thing I will say, though, is you can go from that job and you can go flame out with the Cowboys in 2 or 3 years, and I still think that there was just tremendous interest in him from another college.
And I mean, look at Nick Saban. Like, that didn't affect his coaching status in the college level at all. You know, the biggest program in college football was dying to hire him after he failed at Miami. So I definitely agree with that.
There's enough smoke, and I guess part of that smoke is getting a list of odds from a Vegas website, right? That's a little bit of smoke.
I will say this. Sorry to cut you off, KT, but, like, we didn't really even mention Urban Meyer, but, like, we don't know if Lincoln Riley's interested. Well, we definitely know Urban Meyer is. Like, seems like he's been doing everything in his power to make sure people know he's interested for the last, like, 2 months. So he's not coaching right now. And if the Cowboys have any level of interest at all, I don't think it would be hard to get him in there for an interview. Obviously, he's never coached in the NFL, but he's got an extensive offensive background. I'm sure he could bring a great offensive coordinator with him. Cowboys fans would probably be thrilled to know that, like, he's a special teams savant. Like, his teams always play great special teams, which obviously killed the Cowboys this year. So there are a few candidates I'd rather see before him. But if the Cowboys are interested in all, I don't think it would be hard to get him on the phone.
You know, Urban's interesting. You have to, like, really dive into, like, his health issues and, you know, and I'm not talking about the heart stuff. Even the cyst, you know, like, how much could he take that stress level? But I almost feel like the playoffs, where you want to go, I guess it would get pretty tense. But I almost feel like an NFL is a little less stressful than college. And I almost feel like, kind of relating this to Lincoln Riley, I feel like an NFL job is better than a college job, just because you do get a little more time off, I think. Just because the recruiting and all that stuff, if you don't want to do that, but the guys who do that love doing that crap. So it sounds like a beating to me, going and talking to strangers. In fact, going to strangers' houses and saying, hey, can your son come to my school, is kind of a creepy thing in the first place.
Recruiting is low key, like, pretty creepy. We just don't talk about it.
We don't talk about it enough. But, like, what if you wanted a break from that? That's kind of looking at the bright sides of this job. Man, maybe I don't have to recruit, and I can just go and talk scheme and get ready for OTAs and, you know, go to the Senior Bowl and combine. You're still doing all that stuff. Maybe you want to be involved in all that. So it really does depend about the personality of some of these guys. You know, Mike McCarthy wants the job. We know that. I think Mike McCarthy would kill to have this job. And I just think it's interesting that McCarthy didn't get hired last year. I think that's very interesting. There are a lot of teams who are struggling to find that head coach. I mean, the Jets did not want Adam Gase, but they settled for him. You know, I just think about how many teams just kind of fell into it. Even the Packers, there was a story about how they had, you know, interviewed 10 people, and on the flight home from LaFleur, they were kind of on the phone. They were all on the flight going, kind of looking at each other like, I mean, I guess that's the guy. I mean, sure. Like, Zach Taylor gets the job with the Bengals. Like, if McCarthy was, like, such a changed man, he would have changed a long time ago. But I don't want to be too cynical in that regard. But, like, he legitimately,
you hate him, Casey. His you just offense. Say it.
Well, he's, no, I don't hate him. He's okay.
You know,
I
what,
think
though?
He's,
like,
fine.
This is all super fresh, so we're obviously still digesting it. But, like, being on the phone with y'all, I said I lean toward Lincoln Riley. But, like, maybe that's just because it would be exciting and that's what I want to happen. But, like, Mike McCarthy makes a ton of sense for this team. Like, with the roster as it's currently constructed, we know they can get to the second round of the playoffs. They've already done it.
We know he can win at AT&T Stadium in the playoffs.
That's true. But, I mean, you've got everything ready for you. Maybe, I mean, they probably do want a guy who's been there, not just as a head coach, but as an NFL head coach, who's taken an experienced team to the playoffs multiple times. And, you know, even if the analytics stuff is like lip service, if he's just willing to be a tad more open-minded, that could open up a whole other world of things. And, you know, take it another level. Maybe he's willing to keep Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator. And now all of a sudden, like, you've got your quarterback on board, because we know Dak Prescott loves Kellen Moore. And yeah, like, that doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world to me by any stretch.
Kellen would not stay, though, if he didn't get to call plays, would he? Because McCarthy would call plays.
I mean, if we're being super cynical, it's not really up to Kellen Moore. He's under contract with the club. I mean, he's not, which we'll see. We'll see how all that plays out. I mean, the Cowboys might be letting go of everybody, but that's, I mean, they don't have to. Kellen Moore, as far as I understand it, is under contract. And if Jerry Jones wants him here, then he'll be here. So, I mean, that is a conversation that'll have to, like, develop, you know, as this goes along. Obviously, this news is very fresh, but it'll be interesting to see what we hear about that in the coming days.
It is funny, though, as you guys talk about that, and I'm scrolling through, like, the standings, and I'm just looking at every team in the NFL right now and just going off the list of just how many fan bases really just absolutely love their head coach. And it's a small list. I mean, there's just not a lot of teams that are just like, I don't know, maybe there's 10. That may be even too many. They're just like, oh God, yeah, we like the guy that we have.
Yeah, maybe it's five.
I mean, it's New England. It's New Orleans. Seattle. Yeah, Seattle likes Carroll. I'm sure
the Rams.
San Francisco is in love with Shanahan. Yeah, the Rams. I assume the Rams still like McVay. But I'm struggling after that.
Chiefs.
Baltimore's back in on Harbaugh.
That's true. Baltimore, everybody's in love with Harbaugh right now.
The Steelers.
But it's funny. I don't think Steelers fans liked Tomlin until he pulled off this wizardry this year. I mean, if you have your fourth quarterback and you stay alive in the playoff hunt until week 17, that's pretty amazing. But like before the season started, I think there were a lot of Steelers fans that were ready for Mike Tomlin to be gone.
He would be my number one candidate
easily. If he was available, it would be a no brainer.
Do you think Jason Garrett gets a job anywhere this season or next season?
If he wants one, yeah. But
as what?
Quarterback coach?
That's not what you asked. You just asked if I thought he could get a job.
Yeah, I mean, like either offensive coordinator or head coach.
I think somebody would hire. I mean, it seems. I don't know, man. Honestly.
Kohl's department store.
Jesus. All right,
this is your manager, Jason. We've got a sale on khakis now. And
show some respect. His contract was just terminated like 2 hours ago.
How are we doing, guys? Looking for some discount dress shirts?
I mean...
Dave's never going to do this podcast again.
No, I would gladly do it. I'm just sitting here. I'm honestly trying to process this because, like, okay... The Giants are going to interview Matt Rhule this week. And I think they were supposed to interview McCarthy, but like if he has officially been let go, like we're not in limbo anymore. I could see the Giants interviewing Jason Garrett. I don't think that wouldn't be shocking.
Okay. No, wouldn't be shocking. The Giants are like the one place. They're like the one S show in the league that wouldn't be weird. In Cleveland, actually. If he interviewed in Cleveland, I don't think that would be weird.
If they hadn't already hired Ron Rivera, Washington would do it just because Dan Snyder loves snatching up Jerry Jones's castoffs.
I mean, I fully expect him to have a job with somebody, and then Matt Patricia gets fired after this next season, then Jason Garrett becomes a Lions head coach and takes him to multiple Super Bowls. I've already expected that to happen.
Oh, okay. Damn. Wow. You're just jumping way ahead.
Dude, he would
take because it's the most craziest scenario I could ever come up with.
He would take the Lions to 8-8.
So what if McCarthy...
And they would love it.
What if McCarthy came in Garrett's office on his interview this weekend and was like, trust me, dude, take a year off, tell people that you've been watching a lot of tape at your house, and like they'll be desperate to hire you in a year. I promise.
Hey, let me give you Jim Haslett's phone number.
Yeah. He's like, look, I know
Casey is not a Jim Haslett fan.
I know some old coaches that you can watch tape with, throw around, you know, expected points over value, throw around some of those fancy analytical terms, and like in a year, you'll have like 8 offers. I promise.
Oh man, the key also I think to a lot of these guys is to have a fall guy. Now we've heard Chris Carter say this before, but the key is to have a fall guy. Like when you said Pete Carroll, I found the point that escaped me earlier. Pete Carroll somehow fine because he's kind of enthusiastic and he's kind of like the oldest coach in the league, but he looks 20 years younger than he really is. And then it's like, hey, Brian Schottenheimer, though, that guy's going to take the brunt of criticism. That's the key, and that's what Jason never did. He never had a consistent we could never just always pin it on Rod. And Rod was too innocent. It always went to Jason. Like, Pete Carroll doesn't call the plays. Like, he's the walk-around head coach. And if Jason could have just taken it a little further, he could have had a coordinator be his fall guy, and he could still be around. But because Jason chose to do things his way at all times and kind of stay this, like, monotone guy, he lost the fan base and took a lot of criticism from media for years. And he just, like, I feel like he could have gotten out of that by just kind of changing a little bit and being a little more excited.
You know what's funny about that, though? I'm stealing this point. I don't remember the first time somebody made it, but I'm stealing this point is, like, Pete Carroll probably gets away with a lot of that because the Seahawks have been good enough for so long that he's lost a ton of assistants to other jobs. You know, like Dan Quinn went to Atlanta. Gus Bradley went to Jacksonville. Daryl Bevel left. Chris Richard, I mean, they fired Chris Richard, but still, he went off to Dallas. Like, he's had to make do. So you're like, well, Pete's kind of slapping it together with duct tape now that all of his assistants are gone. Meanwhile, like, Jason Garrett was the coach here for 10 years and doesn't really have a coaching tree, does he?
That's John Machota's best point that you just
Maybe
made.
Maybe I
Dave.
Stole it from
That's
John.
John Machota's only point.
We sit together at press conferences every day, so I'm sure I stole it from him.
I'm sure you guys were on coachingtree.com just kind of browsing through and going, oh, wow, he's like a little plant.
The only noteworthy Jason Garrett coach that's doing anything in the NFL right now is Matt Eberflus. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
I'm not leaving anybody out.
Doesn't have one either, though.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, yeah, I mean, there you go.
Joe Philbin, God, yeah,
that's interesting to me that you can be successful enough to keep your job for 10 years, but like nobody in the league really wants your assistance.
That's bad news.
That's
Bears,
just,
man.
That's not great.
I mean, early on, I understood it because I felt like because Jason was a first time head coach, they were trying to surround him with a lot of veteran coaches, the guys that, you know, that maybe, you know, you weren't going to put a bunch of young guys that other people wanted to, you know, pluck from his staff. But I guess Kellen Moore could end up being that way.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Callahan was obviously on his staff, but I don't.
Yeah,
think
but Bill Callahan was a head coach in the NFL before he ever worked for Garrett.
I'm just going through all his staffs over the years. You know,
I think Kellen Moore and Mark Colombo both have a chance to like have a career like that at some point.
Yeah. No, that kind of. Yeah, possibly. Doesn't Kellen Moore go to the Linehan coaching tree, though?
Ooh, wow. Trying to just take JG's thunder like that. Yeah, I mean,
Jason comes from the Linehan coaching tree, which Linehan comes from a tree, I guess the Saban coaching tree, I guess. Technically, I guess Garrett is a member of the Saban coaching tree.
Yeah, I give Saban that credit since he coached under him for the first time.
Man. Well, we know that Jason is gone. Guys, do you have any closing thoughts? Kent as well. You guys have any closing thoughts? It is over officially. Jason Garrett's tenure as head coach of the Dallas Cowboys is over. The Cowboys no longer have to keep sneaking in head coaches late at night. You know, they don't have to get sneak them in anymore and just pin them up and tell them to shut up at the Omni Frisco. They can now openly just have these head coaching interviews and not make a big deal about it. It's fine.
I got two things. First of all, Schefter put out there that, the Cowboys have officially moved on from Jason Garrett, and Jason Garrett has allowed them to. And that got a lot of traction on social media. And it just got me thinking of some hypotheticals. Like, what if Jason, you know, they came to him, they're like, all right, Jason, we're going to let you go today. And he's like, no, I'm under contract till the 14th. I'm here. And then like, he just pulls a total like Kevin McAllister and just like trashes the star, like orders a ton of food. And like, they can't find him to fire him. And they're like, Jerry's like, yeah, we think he's barricaded himself in the stadium. We're trying to find out where he just like totally goes off. He's the funniest hypothetical in my mind is if he made it as hard as possible for them to fire him. But he's such a good guy that I can't see that happening. And the other thing is, what if the Cowboys go like 2-14 next year?
Oh God.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how will Jason Garrett be completely redeemed of all of everything anyone's ever said about him if immediately when he leaves they just suck horribly?
I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that like in September next year, it could be week one, it could be week four, I don't know. But like in September, the new coach will do something that makes people be like, damn, I guess we had it pretty good with Jason after all. Like that's going to happen. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, like selfishly for us, Dave. Like, is this next guy going to have a walk-off?
I mean,
I don't see Urban Meyer doing a walk-off.
Nobody might actually say something in the press conference, though.
That is the trade-off.
That needs to be written into his contract immediately. It's like, you coach this team, you do a walk-off every day.
It really becomes a numbers game at that point because there's about 20 or 30 reporters compared to one. So you guys just need to turn into a bunch of Walking Dead zombies and make sure that he doesn't leave.
We just follow the new guy out of his first press conference and he's like, he's heading for the elevator, like, you know, business as usual. And we're like, wait, we're not done here. You have 20 more minutes.
I don't know what this does for anybody, but this, speaking of the walk-off with Jason Garrett, I need to share this real quick. And I think I've shared it before, but I will always remember when Mike McCarthy got fired because Jason seemed genuinely stunned in the walk-off about it. Like, he could not believe that Mike McCarthy was not going to have a head coaching job. Like, he thinks the world of Mike McCarthy. So that's why this whole week I've been thinking about it, because the irony of him being in that office and interviewing. I don't think Jason would have thought of that a year ago. But I, you know, when Jason's on the podium, you ask him about that, he's not going to really say much and he's going to be pretty stoic about it. But in the walk-off, I remember him being like, I just can't believe it, man. Like, Mike McCarthy, you know, like, that, I know he thinks the world of
that's him. A good point, John. And I was at the owner's meeting last year and we were eating in a restaurant and Mike McCarthy was in there by himself, like with his wife eating, and in comes Jason Garrett, and Jason Garrett goes over to his table and they talked for over an hour. Like, just them two. So I wonder, like, what Jason would say to Mike McCarthy about this. Like,
I'm telling you,
like, don't
so
do
similar.
It, man. Don't do it, or run for your life, or this is hell, or, man, do you think he would really endorse this as the
honestly,
job to have? Maybe the personnel, but not, like, the organizational standpoint.
I 100% think he would. I really do. Even after, like, everything that's happened, I think he would say, you know, the Jones family is a great group of people to work with. Like, they'll put you in a position to succeed. And I know that kind of goes contrary to like what the public narrative is, but I've never gotten a sense that like that Garrett didn't believe that. Like, even in his low lows, I think he really appreciated working there, even with all the headaches that come with it.
I agree 100%. And I think what you guys also, it is interesting that because I didn't really know that Jason and McCarthy had these ties. But it is interesting because, man, I'm telling you, the most similar thing to Jason Garrett that I think you could find, aside from coaching, maybe record or whatever, is Mike McCarthy. He's the closest thing to Jason Garrett that there is, just in terms of the way he goes about his job. So if that's something that the Cowboys want, that's fine. I swear I'm not being cynical here, because when you said, John, when you said that Jason was stunned that McCarthy was fired, as like, yeah, when the rest of the world knew McCarthy was going to get fired, Jason was head down, focusing on him and what we do here, and probably could piece it together. Oh, McCarthy's getting fired. Well, everyone else knew. Dude, I bet McCarthy and Jason Garrett could have so many long, hour-long discussions by candlelight about 90s football and how, you know... It's just amazing. I bet those guys.
But again, you feel that way. But the Cowboys, you know, specifically Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, might see some of that and be like, "Yeah, that'll make the transition a lot easier." Because I don't get the sense at all they're trying to make significant change. I really don't. I mean, for God's sakes, they really wanted badly for this Jason Garrett era to continue. You know, it was just to the point where it's like, well, you made it a no-brainer. I mean, we were supposed to make it back to the playoffs and win multiple playoff games, let alone going 8-8 again. That's the way they look at it. So even though, you know, we might feel that way, that, you know, being younger, that, hey, it's time to embrace some of these college guys, and that they, I'm not getting the sense that they feel that way.
Yeah. Here's my parting shot is, this was like the weirdest coaching change in NFL history. Like, I don't think it's ever happened this way, where the coach kept his job for a week after the season ended, had the team interviewing other candidates while he was still at work, et cetera, et cetera. So what would be weirder is, like, the job is officially open now. Would it be weirder if they target their guy and have him hired by Wednesday, or if they don't make a hire until like after the Super Bowl and just go on another long and winding search. Like, I don't know which of those would surprise me more.
I've always felt that they would drag this out as long as possible because it keeps them in the news and they get so much attention out of this. I think this takes two.
And that's fine, but if you really want one of the top candidates, I don't know that that person's going to be willing to play along because you want headlines. And I've always believed that this isn't something they started looking into a month ago. I believe they've been looking into this for a while and have a good feeling on people that they're interested in. And so, yeah, if you tell me that they're going to wait until for another 3 weeks or something, I would be surprised. I know it doesn't necessarily fit Cowboys' ways, but, like, you know, Dave, you talk about how weird it's been and things like that. Like, I can't wait to find out whoever the coach is, find out when's the first time they contacted that person, because I don't think it's going to be, oh, last week. That's the first time we talked to him was last week.
Right.
And, you know, with the way Jerry Jones does business, maybe it won't come out immediately, but eventually it will. You know, I mean, like with Bill Parcells and their meeting at Teterboro Airport. That stuff comes out with this team. And so I'm interested in that, but I don't know. I can't see, can you imagine going to the Senior Bowl and they don't have their coach?
I just can't
imagine that.
I'll be at the Senior Bowl and I think I'd be surprised if they go down there without a new coach. And so, I mean, that gives them 2 weeks. I mean, that's a long time.
Okay. Lastly, guys, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but let's do this. 5 minutes ago on Twitter, Dez Bryant: I don't have no sympathy for Coach Garrett losing his job. The Cowboys just became real contenders.
Oh, boy.
Am I wrong? Was it the narrative that Jason was kind of fighting hard to keep Dez on the roster a couple years back?
Yeah, and I just think at this point, that stuff's unnecessary. You know, like, for anything you can say negative about Jason Garrett, I don't know. Like, I'm a big believer in treating people with the same respect that they would treat you. And Jason Garrett would never say that. As bad as things probably were behind the scenes, stuff he had to deal with other players, he would never throw one of them under the bus. Like Dave said, he's never going to throw the Jones family under the bus. Not just publicly, but I'm saying behind the scenes. It seems unnecessary, you know, to do that at this point. You know, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We're skewed because we actually interact with the people that we talk about. But, like, that's my thing is, I don't think he was a particularly great coach, and I think it was time for his tenure to end. And clearly the Cowboys agreed with me, but, like, I don't see the benefit in, like, needlessly shoveling dirt on the guy. And yeah, I mean, Dez said, like, countless times how many times he loved Jason Garrett and what Jason Garrett did for him. I remember when we went to London in 2014, like, Dez spent, you know, they went out one, it was, you know, it was like Wednesday or Thursday. Like, they went out and did, like, sightseeing stuff. And, like, Dez was at Garrett's side for, like, most of the night, like, just Jason, his wife, Brill, and Dez, like, hanging out together. Like, they had a genuine connection. And even if he wasn't that great of a coach, like, it seems pointless to just, like I said, shovel dirt on the guy now that he's gone. I don't get the point.
No, he probably feels a little betrayed too, because they did have a good relationship,
he was unceremoniously cut. Yeah, I mean, that's fair,
right?
But, and I guess it happened. I mean, in the NFL, it happens to basically everybody who's not good enough to retire on their own terms, which is like 0.01% of people.
Sorry to end that with some, like, TMZ smut type stuff, but I just felt like it had to be done. It just happened live. All right. Well, we'll talk again next time. We'll have
more
God
smut.
Knows what happening with the Cowboys coaching search. Is it going to be
it's going
to
get, you know, real wacky, guys. Get ready.
Yeah, it is going to be real wacky. So hold on to your butts and be on the lookout at the Athletic Drama Show. It'll have a piece up. I believe Bob was doing a piece on Mike McCarthy that'll be interesting to read this upcoming week as well, unless, of course, I spoiled that and it was a surprise for everyone. That's why you should listen. You get some inside info. For Dave Hellman, thanks for joining us, Dave.
Thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
For John Machota, Father John.
Thanks, Dave.
anything for y'all. Anything for you, Johnny.
And for our producer, Kent Garrison, I am Kevin KT Turner. And we will talk to you next time on the next edition of Cowboys Coaching Chaos on About Them Cowboys.